And for all the listeners, Lindsay's hair is distinctly dykier than mine, which is a good, it's a good feat. It's well
I'm
done.
So glad you mentioned that. I wasn't sure how my hair was going to come into this podcast, but yeah.
It's a good, yeah. You got the little swoop going. I
said to my barber, today I'm feeling gay. And she was like, I got you. So perfect. Here we are. Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, me too.
Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in. Will you introduce yourself, kind of where you are, what you do, how you identify, and your pronouns?
Great. Awesome. My name is Lindsay Bell Kerr. My pronouns are they and them. I am the pastor of Christ Church United Methodist in Santa Rosa, California. I also am leading a new ministry start at Sonoma State University. I'm a board member of VDAS, which is Vital Immigrant Defense Advocacy and Services. Been doing community organizing in Santa Rosa for about 9 years, particularly with immigrants and with people who are chronically homeless. This is Zechariah 3, 1 to 10. Then he showed me the high priest Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed with filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." And to him he said, "See, I have taken your guilt away from you, and I will clothe you with festal apparel." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with the apparel, and the angel of the Lord was standing by. Then the angel of the Lord assured Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Now listen, Joshua, high priest, you and your colleagues who sit before you, for they are an omen of things to come. I am going to bring my servant the branch, for on the stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with seven facets, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the guilt of this land in a single day. On that day, says the Lord of hosts, you shall invite each other to come under your fig and vine tree." In this passage we just looked at, like, Satan is the lawyer, which I think, which I love as someone who loves lawyer jokes.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
What I love about the Satan character in scripture, I'm not as big of a fan of like the Satan character as we've blown him up to be, like the Lord of all evil, right? Like,
right.
Master of darkness, right? Frequently Satan is right. In this passage in Zechariah, right? Like, at least in the first part of the book, right? The idea is that these institutions are collapsing because people have not been obedient. And Satan's like, yeah, bring the full force of the law on this guy.
Right. And like, they screwed up.
They screwed up. And like, these are the rules. And so it's really interesting to see that this is really someone sort of coming, I think, from the sideline to point out the flaw in another person. And I love this demonstration then of like God's rebuke of that,
right?
Right? Like, it, we're actually the, like the law is not designed to beat somebody with, right? This is God showing up, like sort of as a hero at the last moment and offering grace and a new start.
Well, and I love, there's that line, like, take off his filthy clothes. To me, that is one of the most impactful lines, right? Because it's saying like, no. Like, we're not going to like shame him. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and God, like, don't get me wrong. In Zechariah, God's like, no, I've been pissed. Mm-hmm. Like your ancestors screwed up. I asked mm-hmm. them to turn to me. They didn't over mm-hmm. and over and over again. And mm-hmm. I freaking love you. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it's that we miss. So like, I think about anybody I love in my life. When I get pissed, I am pissed at them. Mm-hmm. Like I'm mad. Mm-hmm. But I don't want them to hurt, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is really the place where this is sometimes where I feel like progressive Christianity sort of jumps the shark, because it would look, sometimes I can hear in my mind what my sort of more left-leaning folks in my church would say, like, see, I've taken your guilt away from you. Like, well, we shouldn't have any guilt. Like, there's no guilt. And like, shut up. There's guilt.
Right. Guilt's actually useful.
Guilt is, and sometimes we carry guilt around and it is for like a real reason.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I have carried, like, as someone who technically is still Roman Catholic, because I have not received my excommunication yet. Like, I feel like I have still standing. I can appreciate like this sort of like false, perpetual, endless guilt that I feel like, okay, that's like the not real stuff. And I try to leave that behind. Right. And also, there are times when I really fail to show up and love other people. And I actually think it's a good sign that I feel bad about that, and that I carry that guilt. Right. And that's what I love about like this passage. It just reminds me of, a time I did a wrong to a friend like years ago, and I just carried it and carried it and carried it. And I finally wrote this person a letter and just said, hey, I'm like 100% sorry. I'm awkward. I've avoided you for like almost 10 years and I'm sorry. And, the response of grace and forgiveness was just like overwhelming. Right. And that's what I love what God is doing here. Like, don't try to like clean up the filthy clothes. We're just going to start completely over. And there's nothing, right? There's nothing that Joshua needs to do to earn this, right? Joshua is not taking off the clothes. Joshua is not scrubbing the garment. This is all just this wonderful gift, right? Of beginning anew.
Right.
And then with the expectation that grace is something that Joshua would share, like, what are the laws of Torah that Joshua needs to follow? Well, he needs to like leave his fields, so people can glean as they need to. He needs to care for the widow and the orphan. He needs to like show up for justice. Right. So that's just like an extension, right? Taking the grace that he's received and then sharing that with others. Like, that's what God's doing in this passage.
Yeah. I love that. And I love this idea that like guilt is meant to turn us toward where we should face. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, so you writing that letter, like the guilt, once you finally said like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to like wrestle with my guilt. Right. Like, that's mm-hmm. why I think that's mm-hmm. why it sticks around. Right. It's because like, mm-hmm. there's something to do. Yeah. And like, it doesn't mean that person has to forgive us. Right?
Right.
But it is always grace when they do, and we can't earn it.
That's right.
Otherwise it wouldn't be grace.
Yeah. We can't earn it. And we are not entitled to it.
Right.
Right. That both and, right. Like, if someone does not forgive, right, something that has been done wrong to them, that's on them. For me, the piece of repenting, right, if we use that word, right, like turning back, acknowledging my guilt, acknowledging I did something wrong, is like, that's my work to do in that moment. And this is the difference between human beings and God, right? God forgives every time. Human beings, their lives are finite. And quite frankly, I could even argue that there are actually just hurts that happen to people that are too great for them to forgive, right? It's not a flaw to not be able to forgive. But if I commit one of those, right, and I actually hurt someone and they cannot forgive me, then I want to carry it lightly, but I want to carry that reminder around because I don't want to hurt more people that way.
Right.
This is something I say to my confirmation classes. I say, okay, you're on your way to becoming adults. And this is the moment in your life when you have to stop ever hurting anyone on purpose. Because in your life, you are going to hurt people by accident. And that's going to be enough. That's going to be hard enough to deal with.
Yeah.
Right now, you need to stop actually hurting people on purpose because as you become an adult, right, as you become more powerful, the hurts you can inflict are greater. And that's the piece where I think it's, there is this like Christian message about forgiveness and healing that's really important. But the other piece here is there's also a power piece here where Joshua is a high priest and he actually has a lot of power over people. So this grace that God is extending him is like grace because God loves him, but God also loves all of the people who are under Joshua's authority. So Joshua needs to stop screwing them over, right? Like right. Joshua needs to care about all of these people under his authority as God cares for Joshua, who is under God's authority. And that's the piece that sometimes I think we miss in these forgiveness passages.
Right, is our responsibility to share the grace that we are given.
Absolutely. I think about right the way we use the word freedom in our nation, and that the understanding of true Christian freedom, right? The freedom we find in Jesus Christ is the freedom to live and die for each other. Right.
Right.
The grace we receive from God is the grace we have received so that we can live and die for each other, the grace so we can like love each other more fully. And that is an uphill battle in the culture in which we live. But it is for me like the gift that Christianity has to offer our consumer capitalist culture is this idea that like, I've received grace, not so that I can like just enjoy it for its own sake or get interest on it or save it for a rainy day, right? But rather I've received this grace so that I can extravagantly and abundantly share it with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff. Well, will you pray for us?
Sure. Well, let's center. And when I pray, I always like to remember to either put my feet on the floor or my hand on something that's touching the floor. Remember where I am. And I like to breathe in and remember that I am breathing the spirit of life, the gift of breath that God put into each of us when God formed us out of the dust. And Holy One, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the ways that you are speaking to us today in the midst of our conversation through these words from your scripture, through the lives of other people, through forgiveness, even sometimes through the guilt which moves us to turn around and try to make something right. We give you thanks for all the grace you extend to us. Help us to remember to share that grace with others. Help us to remember that we were made to love and serve others. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. What a joy.
Yeah, this was fun, Sam.